Today's lesson is titled Judging Right Judgment. Say that.
Judging Right Judgment.
The text is from the lips of Jesus, St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verses. I'm going to have you shout it back at me for emphasis as I shall read. Judge not.
Judge not.
My goodness. Just those first two words can constitute a whole sermon. Let's start it again, and I want you to thunder it back at me. And remember, as I said, that these are the words of Jesus. Judge not.
Judge not.
That ye be not judged.
That ye be not judged.
For with what judgment ye judge,
for with what judgment ye judge,
ye shall be judged.
Ye shall.
And with what measure ye measure,
and with what measure ye measure,
it shall be measured to you again.
It shall be measured to you again.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?
But considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye.
But consider not the beam that is in thine own eye.
Wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye.
Let me pull the mote out of thine eye.
And behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
And behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
You hypocrite!
You hypocrite!
First cast the beam out of thine own eye.
First cast the beam out of thine own eye.
And then shalt thou see clearly.
And then shalt thou see clearly.
To cast the mote out of thy brother's eye.
To cast the mote out of thy brother's eye.
The next is from Reverend Ike, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse. It's really an affirmation. It's an esoteric affirmation. You will have to feel the spirit of this. Repeat it after me. Shout it after me. I see myself.
I see myself.
Everyone.
Everyone.
And everything.
And everything.
Honestly.
Honestly.
Lovingly.
Lovingly.
And divinely.
And divinely.
We're going to say it again. I see myself.
I see myself.
Everyone,
everyone,
and
everything,
honestly,
honestly,
lovingly,
lovingly,
and divinely.
And divine.
It is an interesting thing how the mind works. It fascinates me more and more the more I learn about it. And as a matter of fact, the burden of the scriptures is to show us how the mind works. The universal mind, as well as the individualized mind in us and as us. The mind is a judge. This lesson was given to me about 2 weeks ago when I caught my mind just automatically making judgments. And the more you learn, it's good when you can catch your mind in its action so that you can evaluate and analyze it to see if the judgments that you are making are positive. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the judgments that you make about others are going to confront you in and as your experience. I'm going to have you write that down, and I'm going to put it in the first person. Repeat it after me. The judgments that I make, about other people and things,
will confront me
in and as
my own experience.
Now, sometimes an individual mind can become so busy making judgments that the person won't realize how judgmental they have become. Talking about myself first. I want you to stop. Study yourself and the action of your mind. Watch it and see how fast your mind start making judgments about people. I mean, the mind goes to work on somebody right away. Oh, yeah, he's this. She's that. Yes, she is. You can tell by the color of his eyes. Look at that. Yeah, and look at her. Look at the way she's walking. You can, yes, uh-huh. And what is he doing out here this time of night? See, the mind is a judge. Say that.
The mind is a judge.
Say it again.
The mind is a judge.
When Jesus says judge not here, it means don't make negative judgments, because we're told in another place to what judge righteous judgment. Now, I caught my mind just running down judgments on somebody. And may I tell you this, it doesn't matter if your judgments are factual. If they are negative, they're still going to confront you in and as your experience. It may be a fact that that person you're judging is a rascal and no good and dishonest. All of those may be facts. But you see what happens when you begin to judge those negative facts, they become your thought. And as a man thinks, so is he. That's the law. I heard some preachers on an evangelistic television program not too long ago, and they had some interesting discussions, and they said that they noticed that whatever sins they preached about on Sunday, they were usually tempted by those sins that week. I won't tell you who it is now, but somebody who works in one of my offices tells about what her former pastor, who was so very religious and preaching against sin, hellfire and brimstone, everybody was wrong and everything was wrong, and he even carried a Bible on a string hung around his neck. I never heard that of that before. He preached about sin and hellfire and brimstone and ended up running off with the piano player. Judge not, for with the same judgment that you judge, you shall be judged again. When I first came to New York, an older preacher said to me, "Son, hey, you watch these preachers always preaching about adultery and fornication. So that's just what their problem is. You can tell what sin is eating a preacher by what he preaches against all the time." Well, you make a hobby horse out of going around condemning, even if it's a fact. You have preoccupied your mind with that, and it's going to get you. Leave it alone. I figure that if you take up all of your time trying to keep your nose clean and your business straight, you probably won't have any time left to meddle anybody else's sin. You probably have got enough of your own to contend with. And get busy seeing yourself correctly. Get busy seeing yourself as a child of God. And when you get busy seeing yourself as a child of God, then you'll be able to see others as children of God. As the Sop song says, take a look at yourself, and then you can see others differently. Get busy. And when I caught my mind a couple of weeks ago when this lesson was given to me, just caught the mind, just making judgment, I said, oh, stop. I see myself. You see, you must always begin with yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. You recognize every judgment is really in some way a self-judgment. You couldn't see it in me if it wasn't in you. Well, and I'm going to read this quotation from Reverend Ike and have you repeat it after me. We despise in others.
We despise in others.
What we hate in ourselves.
What we hate.
Certain things about people irritate us. They irritate us because it's really way, way down in us. So anytime you get irritated and aggravated with other people, it's a signal to you to clean up your stuff. So instead of passing judgments and, hey, what is this that I need to clean up? Say that with me. What is this that I need to clean up? Say it again. What is this that I need to clean up? See, the mind has a way of outpicturing what's way, way down there, but so many times you won't recognize it. Again, I quote that scripture from Reverend Ike's tape, Tricks of the Subconscious Mind. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, many times when we see ourselves out there, we don't recognize ourselves. And I quote again the subject of Reverend Ike's mystic lecture, I meet no one but me. Say that.
I meet
no one but me. There is something of ourselves in everyone. This is why we are told not to be judgmental and unloving toward others, not so much for their sakes, but for our sakes. You see, because here again, the person that you can't forgive is really not another person that you can't forgive. It's yourself that you're refusing to forgive. Wow. To refuse to forgive another is to refuse to forgive myself. Say it. Now, I want to say it in another way so that you can see what you're doing. Inability to forgive another is inability to forgive myself. Say it. Uh-oh. Now, mark this on your note so that you can work on yourself with this week. If there is somebody that you have not yet been able to forgive, that is a signal to you that you have not yet been able to forgive yourself. There are special seminars, it's very interesting now, where they take people all the way back into their past and have them forgive everybody, have them forgive their mother and their father, the ones that have even passed on. When you really get into that subterranean area of the subconscious mind, you find a lot of stuff down there that the conscious mind didn't even know about, that's been doing you dirt. That's where all the bad luck is. And all of the little hurts and aggravations that you receive from time to time, you've got to forgive all that stuff for your sake. And your ability to forgive is a mirror and a measure of your ability to be forgiven. Now, if you find yourself unable to forgive or holding on to things that happened to you, it's a signal that you are a hard forgiver. No, I can't forgive them. I've left all they did to me. Oh, but if you can only see what you're doing to yourself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is why there have been many documented cases where people never got healed, either spiritually, mentally, or physically, until they forgave. In one of his early books, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale tells of a man that died of grudgeitis. He had a long-standing grudge against somebody, and he just wouldn't turn it loose, and it had killed him dead. He still wouldn't forgive. I mean, some people are like that. It's not that you're really hard on other people. You're hard on yourself. And when you see a person that's so trying to be so hard on everybody else, you know why it is? Because they are hard on themselves. And you see sometimes what they call a bigoted person that tries to go pushing and shoving other people around. The real truth is that subconsciously, that's a very scared person. It's a very afraid and a very inferior person. And so they're trying to bluff their way through. Judge not that you be not judged. Be careful how you go around. And I want you to watch your mind this week to see how it starts making judgments. That's why the mind has to be brought under control. We have to become as Jesus, master. And this is why Jesus was called master, because he was at that point of mastery, self-mastery, mind mastery. So again, let's repeat this affirmation. I see myself.
I see myself.
Everyone and everything.
Everyone and everything.
Honestly.
Lovingly
and divinely. And even when factually it doesn't look like that, you keep making that righteous judgment. Keep making that righteous judgment. Just keep making that righteous judgment. And keep repeating that righteous judgment to the mind. Jesus says, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly. You see, we must always begin with ourselves. Always begin with ourselves. And here's what Reverend Ike says, repeated after me. When I see myself clearly and correctly, then I see everyone and everything clearly and correctly. And now, there's a beautiful illustration from the biblical illustrator that I enjoyed this illustration and I want to share it with you, Edith Solomon.
A little boy once went home to his mother and said, Mother, sister and I were out in the garden, and we were calling about, and there was some boy mocking us. How do you mean, Johnny? Said his mother. Why, said the child, I was calling out, Ho! And this boy said, Ho! So I said to him, Who are you? And he answered, Who are you? And I said, What's your name? And he said, "What is your name?"
And I said to him, "Why don't you show yourself?" And he said, "Show yourself." And I jumped over the ditch, and I went into the woods, and I could not find him. And I came back, and I said, "If you don't come out, I will punch your head." And he said, "I will punch your head." So his mother said, "Ah, Johnny, if you had said, 'I love you,' he would have said, 'I love you.' If you had said, 'Your voice is sweet,' he would have said, 'Your voice is sweet.' Whatever you said to him, he would have said it back to you." And the mother said also, "Now, Johnny, when you grow up, get to be a man. Whatever you say to others, they will, by and by, say back to you." And his mother took him to that old text in the scripture, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." As in the old legend, the wolf preached against sheep stealing. So very many people hunt down, I mean really hunt down, those sins in others, which they gladly shelter in themselves. In the words of Henry Smith, "Nowadays, some people take upon themselves to reprove others for committing such things as they themselves do practice without amendment. Therefore, these people are like some tailors who are busy decking and tricking up others, but go both bare and beggarly themselves."
Thank you, Edith. It's interesting in the story here of the little boy who said that when he went out into the garden, calling out, he said that there was some boy mocking him and repeating back to him everything that he said. Doesn't that illustrate, "I meet no one but me"? He thought that the person talking back to him was somebody else. And you see, that's the great thing in judgment. We judge other people because we think that is what they are doing. That's them, but it's really ourselves. It is easier to judge others than to improve ourselves. The people and things in our lives echo back to us our own subconscious judgments. Another quotation from Reverend Ike: "Life meets me just like I meet life." Say that.
Life meets me just like I meet life.
Let's do some work. Say it again. Life meets me.
Life meets me.
Just like I meet life.
Just like I meet life.
See, the little boy didn't understand that. That was his echo speaking to him. And really, you know, our experience is really our own echo coming back to us. The echo of our thoughts, the echo of our moods, the echo of our attitudes, the echo of our own ideas. I think it's Ernest Holmes, founder of religious science, that makes this statement and gives us this question to cross-examine ourselves by. Can I afford the results of the thoughts which I am thinking? Say that. Can I afford the results of the thoughts which I am thinking? Isn't that interesting? Let's ask this again. Can I afford the results?
Can I afford the results
of the thoughts
which I am thinking?
I'll guarantee you that'll help you to snap back in a hurry. And when you catch yourself in a bad mood, in a bad attitude, you can ask yourself also, can I afford the results of my present attitude? Say that. Can I afford the results of my present attitude? Again?
Can I afford the results of my present attitude?
See, the next time somebody else makes you mad, and you see, that's a telltale. As long as somebody else can make you something, you're in trouble. As long as somebody else can get your goat, you have to learn how to control your own goat. See, even that is a telltale expression. The next time you find yourself in a negative mood, ask yourself the question, can I afford the results of this mood? Again?
Can I afford the results of this mood?
And you see, if you discover that your thinking, your attitude, your mood are such that you don't want to deal with or meet the result, you'd better change it in a hurry. That's what the scripture means by what? Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you the greatest blessing in the universe. The greatest blessing in the universe is the ability to change my mind. Like somebody said to me the other day, I guess it was somebody works in my office, said, what about such and such and such? He said, I thought you said you were going to do it this way. I said, I changed my mind. And I will not let anybody deny me the privilege of changing my mind. And don't you do that. See? Don't let anybody or anything deny you the privilege of changing your mind, because in that is your salvation.
Yes, sir.
In that is your progress. In that is your advancement.
Yes.
I am so glad that I can change my mind.
Yes.
Because if I couldn't change my mind, I couldn't change my destiny. See, because there is only one way to change your destiny.
Yes.
There's only one way to change your luck. And that is by changing your mind. See, that's why a lot of these social programs don't work. That's why medicine does not cure cancer. Because you cannot change conditions without a change of mind. You can't change anybody else's conditions. You cannot change your own condition unless you change your mind. That's a great blessing. And you have that power. I can change anything as long as I can change my mind. Say that.
I can change anything as long as I can change my mind.
Don't you forget that. I don't care what happened. I don't care how bad it was. Change your mind about it. Change your mind about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, Reverend Ike, what's that got to do with the Bible? What's that got to do with Jesus? Plenty. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And repent is from the old coiny Greek word in the New Testament, which means to change your mind. First sermon ever preached in the Christian church. When the multitude said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? The apostle Peter said what? Repent. First word, first thing you do is what? Repent. Means what? Change your mind. Change your judgments. Nobody condemns you but you, and you condemn yourself when you condemn others. And you see, every man who is condemned is really under his own self-condemnation. You see, it is you that pronounces the judgment of health or sickness upon yourself.
All right.
And you who are judging yourself to be sick, go right back into the courtroom of your mind and get another verdict. Appeal to the Supreme Court of consciousness.
All right. Yeah.
And as one minister used to say in parody, God says, I have created you well. How is it that you are sick? I have created you rich. How is it that you are poor? I have created you with all power in heaven and in earth. How is it that you are weak? And we're talking about judgment. You live under one judgment, your own judgment. You are right now what you judge yourself to be. The money that you have is under your own judgment. Everything in my life is under my own judgment. Say that.
Everything in my life is under my own judgment.
And you see, if you don't like the judgment that you're under, you can appeal to the higher court of consciousness, to the higher court of thinking. You can go to the Supreme Court and get another judgment. That's repentance. That's repentance. You can get God's judgment. You can get good's judgment. You can get love's judgment. You see, we need to learn to accept God's judgment of us. I like what the Bible says. The theologians have ascribed this to Jesus as a person only, but it is the truth of every man. It is the truth of everyone in God. He knew no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. When Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit as a dove came and lit upon his shoulder and the voice spoke from heaven, a higher consciousness, and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is really God's judgment on every man. As dirty and mean as you've been, God still judges you to be his son. As weak and poor and dumb and ornery as you may have factually been, God's judgment upon you is always, this is my son. And I can prove it to you. That's what the parable of the prodigal son is trying to tell us in part. There was a boy that had been to the pig pen of life. There was a boy that had eaten slop with the pigs. There was a boy that had had his fill of the proverbial wine, women, and song. There was a boy that had gone as low as he could go and lower still. But one day with the slop still dripping out of his mouth. And there he was. The pigs had even beaten him to the corn and he was eating nothing but the husk. The Bible says he came to himself. You ain't going nowhere until you come to yourself. Now listen, I believe in Jesus and I believe in coming to Jesus. But you don't really come to Jesus until you come to yourself. To truly come to Jesus is to come to yourself. To truly come to God is to come to yourself.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says he came to himself.
Yeah.
You see, he had pronounced a negative judgment upon himself. He judged himself one day to be separate from God.
All right.
You see, that is man's first and major misjudgment.
Yeah.
You misjudge yourself. Yeah. If you judge yourself as anything but a child of God, then you have pronounced a misjudgment on yourself. Yeah. And even when you see the people in Skid Row and our poor brothers and sisters shooting dope in their arms and sniffing cocaine up their noses, let's judge right judgment about them too. See, that's another thing about the Almighty. God loves everybody just alike. God doesn't care a bit more about you than he does about the bums on Skid Row. Prodigal son came to himself. He passed a different judgment on himself. You see, he had judged himself separate from God. As I say, once you judge yourself separate from God, it's all downhill from there.
Uh-huh.
As long as you think you are one thing and God is another, it's all downhill from there. It's all hell from there. God never condemns a man to hell. Only a man, a mind, can condemn himself to hell. And I'm not talking about hell after you die. You know blessed well that hell is right here. When you see one of God's beautiful creatures with needle marks up his arms and his nose burnt out with cocaine, I mean, there's no need to preach to that man and say, you're going to hell. That man's already into hell. Try to show that man who he is. Bible said the prodigal son came to himself. And when he came to himself, he went to the Father. He passed another judgment. And he said, my Father. What was he doing? Passing another judgment. Before, he had judged himself to be a son of a gun. And so he lived like the son of a gun. When a man pronounces judgment upon himself that he's a son of a gun, then he lives like the devil and catches hell like the devil. But he said, my Father, he heard his belly growl. And then he said, my Father has bread. You see what he was doing? He had been judging himself as being poor. Now the poor are not going to get rich until they stop passing poor judgments on themselves. You're poor because you say you're poor. You're poor because you have passed the poverty judgment on yourself. You're poor because you let the bureaucrats in Washington and the fancy sociologists tell you that you're poor. And you accept their verdict. But the prodigal son says, my Father has bread enough and to spare. Let me hear you say it. My father
has bread
to spare.
To spare.
You want to be rich? Pass a rich judgment on yourself. What am I doing in this pig pen? I've got a rich father. What am I doing trying to get to this slop? What am I doing with the track marks up my sleeve? And after he judged himself to be God's child, after he judged himself to be God's rich child, he said, I will arise. Let me hear everybody say that. I will arise. Notice that will. See, one of the 12 powers of the mind. You want to get out of that mess, you got a will to get out of it. I don't care how low you are. If you will, you can go. If you will, you can rise. God has already put everything necessary in you for you to rise. Let me hear you say, I will arise. You've got to get your will going. Now, I want you to say every word distinctly. Maybe you ought to ball up your fist this time. Come on and say it. Pass your righteous judgment. Pass your positive judgment and then say, I will. I will be well.
I will be well.
I will be healthy.
I will be healthy.
I will be happy.
I will be happy.
I will be loving and beloved.
I will be loving and beloved.
I will be prosperous.
I will be prosperous.
I will be successful.
I will be successful.
I will be rich.
I will.
What happened?
No matter what happened.
I will. I've got a will.
I've got a will.
As long as you have a will, you've got everything that you need. The will to be well will heal you and keep you well. What did I say?
The will to be well will heal you and keep you well.
I want every one of you here today to leave here saying in your mind, I will. Pick up your dreams. Pick up your good desires. Get a hold of that desire to be, to do, and to have that's burning in your soul. And say, I will.
I will.
You see, God is in the power of your will. And you see, if you announce your judgment and announce your will, then God will get to working in your will. God will bring everything together. I will arise.
I will arise.
And I'll go to my Father.
I'll go to my father.
You see, you can't get all confused by facts. It was a fact that the prodigal son was in sin. That was a fact. He was a sinner of the rankest kind on the level of facts.
Yes, sir.
But sin was not the truth of him. And I got news for you. Even your stupidity is not the truth of you. There's some of us here, sometimes you thought that maybe you did something stupid, right?
Yes.
But say, my stupidity is not the truth of me.
My stupidity is not the truth of me.
You see, that's why you can go right back to court. The Supreme Court of Consciousness, because the truth was not brought out. I've got new evidence. What is that evidence? That evidence is that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. That evidence is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
You see, I got new evidence on myself. That's what I want to send you out with, new evidence on yourself. You are not that SOB you thought you were. I got new evidence. Because when the prodigal son was struggling up the road, staggering back to the father, see, the facts accused him and said, look at that bum. But I got new evidence because I saw the father.
Yes.
Standing in the door of his heavenly mansion, looking down the road. And the Bible said that while he was yet a great way off, here comes that way off boy, way off. Now that was the fact, he was way off. But the Bible said, while he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him. Listen, the moment you turn your mind to God, listen, people, God doesn't just meet you halfway. God meets you better than halfway. The Bible says, while he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him and ran. Now, listen, don't tell me you can't hurry God. The Bible says the Father did what? Ran. He ran. When you turn your mind to God, God will run to meet your need. The moment you say, my Father, he'll say, what do you want, daughter? He'll say, what do you want, my son? Father ran to meet him, fell upon his neck, hugged him, and kissed him. The scribes and the Pharisees and the church folks, they saw the father hugging and kissing this nasty-looking boy. Says, why are you hugging that old bum? The father looked back over his shoulder. Said, I don't see any nasty boy. This is what God says about you. This is God's verdict on you. This is God's new evidence on you. He said, this is my son. Way at the end of the story, the self-righteous eldest son said, well, he's been out devouring his living with harlots. Shut up. This is my son. I don't care what you've been doing. You're my son. You belong to me. All you have to do is come back home. All you have to do is change your mind about yourself. Pass another judgment on yourself. Aren't you glad about that? Now let's close with this treatment. I see myself.
I see myself.
As God sees me.
As God sees me.
I pass a new judgment on myself.
I pass a new judgment.
I judge right judgment.
I judge right judgment.
I see myself.
I see myself.
Everyone and everything.
Everyone and everything.
Honestly.
Honestly.
Lovingly.
Lovingly.
And divinely.
And divinely.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me.
I see myself healthy.
I see myself healthy.
Happy.
Happy.
Loving and beloved.
Loving and beloved.
I see myself successful and prosperous.
I see myself successful and prosperous.
I see myself with plenty money.
I see myself with plenty money.
In every form and amount.
In every form and amount.
That I need and want.
That I need and want.
And infinitely more.
And infinitely more.
This is my self-judgment.
This is my self-judgment.
I will not judge according to facts and appearances.
I will not judge according to facts and appearances.
Of a negative nature.
Of a negative nature.
I judge divinely.
I judge divinely.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God in me.
Thank you, God in me.
So it is.
So it is.
It cannot be otherwise.
It cannot be otherwise.
And I rejoice because of it.
And I rejoice because of it.
Give God a great big hand clap.